Good evening. This is Jim Koslick and KGVM Radio, 95.9 on your dial. Or you can stream us at kgvm.org. This is the Men's Network Radio. This show is dedicated to men who are on the path to self-discovery and self-awareness. Tonight, our host is going to be Mountains of Courage in Bozeman, Montana. And they have a 2020 conference, and it's being held at the Grand Tree Inn on Saturday, March 7th, 9 to 4 p.m. There's a check-in at 8 a.m. for registration. And it's all about grieving or when someone dies and preparing for death, preparing for your own death, how you want it. And I've been to one of these several years ago, and it's a very good conference to attend, especially if you have parents or elder other people in your family that are facing death. So I suggest you go. Mountains of Courage, Saturday, March 7th, 9 to 4 p.m. Check in at 8 a.m. Grand Tree in Bozeman. Tonight, we're going to have a topic on accountability. And I have three guests tonight: Aaron Blaine and Sam Ascari and Paul Gilderloos. And let's start with Aaron. Aaron, you were part of a group, Everman.
Yeah.
You want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Aaron Blaine. I live in Bozeman, Montana. And I've been a part of men's groups for about 3 years now. First introduction to men's groups was through a friend of mine named Dan Doty, who's the founder of Everman. And I did logistics and operations for the organization for a couple years and helped run their wilderness programs. So I led wilderness expeditions, all men, through Yellowstone, Joshua Tree National Park, also up in the Glacier Country in northwestern Montana. And I'm still on that path, still diving in to personal growth and men's groups. And it's kind of one of those things where you get into it and there's kind of no getting out of it.
I was going to say, are you still with a group or are you kind of solo now? Or?
Well, I started my own group up in Big Fork, Montana.
Okay.
After we left Bozeman about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I started that group and then most recently moved back to Bozeman. It kind of feels more like home here. And I've got a couple groups that I'm wanting to join, but the pace of my job for the next month will be really intense, and we just moved and we have a lot of transitions, so I think as soon as that settles down, I'm gonna maybe jump back in Sam's group.
All right, well, great. That's part of us. We got two of us here. Sam Ascari, you've been on the show before. We had a beautiful show, two-part show.
That's right,
two parts on relationship. And Sam, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so Sam Ascari, as you said, and I'm a Livingston native, lived here my whole life, moved away, came back, and I started a farm. So I grow food, organic produce, microgreens, and shoots for Montana Roots. That's my business, and I've been part of men's groups now for about 4 years, and actually solely with Everyman, but I've been working basically in Livingston just to create with all you guys here. I've actually sat in men's group with all of you, currently sitting with you two, Powell and Jim, and just increasing that awareness for guys to experience what it's like to sit in a group and the power of being in a group of guys that hold you accountable, that have got your back, they got your heart, they got your head, they're there to support you to be the best that you can be. So that's like the biggest thing right now, I think, is just, what I'm focusing on in my life in general, and the men's groups support that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And then we have Paul. Paul just recently joined the men's group.
I did. My name is Paul Gelderloos. I was born in the Netherlands and raised in Amsterdam. Got into lots of trouble over there. Was somewhat of a disturbed youth, I should say. And I wish, I'm an older man. I'm going to be 71 years old here in a few days. Yes. And I wish during that time in my youth that there was actually a men's group. And I could have resolved some of my identity problems with talking to other people. Unfortunately, that was not the case. But through other means, I have been able to take responsibility for my own actions and for my own life. And now I'm part of that men's group, and I think it's so fascinating to see people from different walks of life, different ages, interact with each other on all kinds of different topics. So I'm very happy to be part of this men group.
Oh, great. Well, thanks. It's great having you all here. And our topic today is going to be accountability. So as we go along, I'll ask some questions, and anybody can jump in, and we'll just have a nice discussion.
Sounds good.
So first thing I'm going to throw out there is how do you define accountability to yourself and to others? Anybody want to jump in on that?
Well, a couple days ago, and this is Paul, a couple days ago, you sent to us over the email that you were going to talk about accountability. Mm-hmm. And I really racked my brain on that whole concept, you know, it being close to tax time. The word accounting is in there.
Yeah.
But I really arrived after a lot of thinking to the only person that can be accountable is yourself. And you can never force any accountability upon anybody else. That's what I came to the conclusion of.
Well, I'm glad you said that. It reminds me to get on my taxes because I am accountable to myself
well,
on that.
This is true.
And anybody else want to dig in on that?
Yeah, I mean, personally,
Aaron, you had a great story before we started here.
Yeah, I mean, personally, from my experience, I just think in a broad way, if you want to accomplish something or make some changes in your life, the best thing to do is to tell somebody about it or to ask for support in that, because it's, I think it's really easy to step away from our own accountability personally.
Mm-hmm.
As far back as I can remember, accountability being really important to me is I told my mom that I was going to go into the special forces, and she said, okay, well, first of all, she was very upset that I was going to do that. And then I told her, don't tell anyone. I'm not going to tell anyone that I'm doing it. And I want to make sure that I can succeed before I share the information. And she looked at me and said, I think you should probably tell everyone if you want to succeed. And, and I did. And I started really taking that seriously. And it seemed like the more I shared that I wanted to do that, it became more of a real thing. It became more solidified. It became more of a approachable goal or, you know, experience. And, you know, what I was sharing before the podcast was that I had two traumatic brain injuries in the military. And it's one of those things where you think it's just maybe going to go away or heal itself. And there's a lot of second and third order effects to a brain injury that affect you hormonally in your brain and in your body. And after quite some time dealing with that, I had a friend come to me and tell me to get onto a protocol, to a supplemental protocol that he had been on through Dr. Mark Gordon in California. And my first instinct was it was just somebody trying to make a dollar off of wellness. It was just a couple pills that I could buy at GNC, and it wasn't that big of a deal. And that I knew the man that was asking me to do that cared about me, and I knew that he was on that protocol. And the more he kept talking to me about his experience, I felt him sharing what was his experience, but also his yearning for me to be better in better health. And so he kind of kept telling me, you know, you just need to go talk to this guy. The quality of life that you're going to receive is exponential compared to the price that you pay for it. And so this went on for quite some time, and he finally went to my wife and said, hey, I think it'd be super beneficial for Aaron to get on this protocol. And I did, and it's been absolutely amazing. And I thank him every day for holding me accountable in a very loving, you know, open way. And I think that there might be some nuanced strategy and accountability in terms of wanting something for someone. And, you know, they can feel maybe pressured if you really want something for someone, and they can kind of turn away from that. But I think if you show it from a place of from love and compassion, it's very easy to see that they're trying to share something great with you. And so I'm really appreciative of my friend Matthew that talked me into inspired me to get on this, and also helped facilitate that through my wife and, you know, through the rest of my family. And I couldn't be more grateful now that that I did try it.
Well, that's beautiful. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to kind of end the show with this, but I might as well throw it in now. How can we take being accountable into the world and apply it to our other relationships without being self-righteous? And I like what you said about if it's done with love.
I think it's if it's done with love and compassion, but I think for the most part it just needs to be modeled. Instead of me telling you, you need to do this or you have to do this, all I can really do is model the behavior on my own and have you be a witness of whatever experience I'm having. Mm-hmm. And if I can share that with you and stick with you, with that modeling and with that integrity for myself, I feel like you're going to see that in almost a mirror for yourself. And I think that might be the nuanced trick into accountability is, you know, humans by nature don't want to do things that people tell them to do. I'll speak from my personal experience. If someone tells me to do something, I probably want to do the opposite. I haven't wanted humans to put me in a box of any sort my whole life. And so I think that there is like a running away that happens when someone is self-righteous or tells you that you need to do something, or, hey, you have to read this book. And it's like, I don't have to do anything. That's what my ego says, at least, you know, when someone tells me something. So I think just sticking with someone and modeling that behavior, modeling whatever it is that you've accomplished in your own experience, can help others to see the benefit instead of imposing on them.
I think the modeling is a great example, but what people really see when it benefits you is how it really pays off for yourself to be accountable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's what, you know, flashes the light to other people, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, they see how happy or, you know, fulfilled you are, or successful, and that's, you know, they want what you have, to put it simply, and then, you know, they kind of start to get like, oh, he says he's going to do this and he does. And
then you don't have to go around telling people. They will come to you and ask you, what are you doing? Well, I see that you're succeeding in this aspect of your life. What is it that helps you get that way? And then it's much more absorbed into someone's belief system or memory if they can see that modeling and actually want it. People are going to crave the whatever experience that you're modeling, and they're going to ask you, where do you start? Where do you go? How do you accomplish this? And you won't have to walk around telling people how to do things or what to do. They'll come to you and ask you, and it's up to them to take that information and apply it.
That's so true. How can a men in a men's group be accountable to each other? I mean, I know that's part of the thing when we do our stretch, you know. But how can we keep that going through the week? Sometimes we come to group, oh, I forgot what my stretch was, or, oh, no, I didn't do it, you know. And it could be something simple like going to buy a drum or something. How can we hold each other accountable outside a group?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that's part of what I found as being like one of the most powerful things of a men's group is having that. For me, when I externalize, like what Aaron was saying, externalizing a commitment or a goal or a promise I make to myself to one other person or multiple, like in a men's group, a group of other guys, makes me more likely I'm going to do that, just for the sheer fact that it's more uncomfortable. If I come back on Tuesday night and people ask me like, hey, did you give that therapist a call? You were talking about you want to go to therapy. Did you give that person a call? And then I have this sinking feeling. I'm like, I didn't, you know. And then a good group will be like, what did you make more important than that? Or they say, or a really good group's going to be like, Sam, that's the second time you haven't fulfilled that stretch. Like, what's going on? You know? And whereas for myself, come Tuesday night, if I don't have a group of guys I've shared it with or a partner or a friend, I'll be like, oh, I'm busy. And that's it. Because I'm so, it's so easy for me personally. It's really easy for me to not be accountable to myself, but it's harder to be, to be unaccountable to other people. And, you know, it's still a work in progress. I think that's also like in a men's group, if multiple people aren't fulfilling their commitments, then it becomes like a group pass, a group like get out of jail free. Like, oh, okay. And then you just go on.
I think that's a great point. And I think you're, when you are modeling the behavior, positive or negative, just from one person, it's going to trickle through the group container. And so I look at it like if there's a guy that is not completing his stretches and he keeps saying that he's going to do something, and then, you know, consequently the group kind of lets him go on a pass, that's going to directly affect the rest of the group. And I love what you said about a good group will get, you know, very, you know, accountable for you. And, you know, if you come into group and, you know, for the third time and you say, I didn't do my stretch, and I'm going to say, Sam, that makes me angry.
Yeah.
You know, that makes me angry that I spend 3 hours a week showing up to this group fully, completing my stretches, and, you know, you're going into the world after having this experience and not doing that. Mm. You know, maybe there's a spot for someone else that's a little bit more apt to show up for us. And I think that's sounds harsh in a way, and I think that's also what makes the group stronger, is if guys can be super candid and very, you know, almost aggressive with the other men. If you're not doing something, you're taking away from the integrity of what the group's, you know, heart and soul really means.
And the potential.
I totally disagree with that concept completely.
Do you do?
I
love it.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous, because you're not going to punish anyone. And if a person would do it because everybody else wants you to do it, he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it because he emotionally gets himself, you know, blamed for not, right? I think that's diverse.
But the difference, I think, though, is that I am choosing on my own to be like, all right, guys, I know I need this. I'm going to have this difficult conversation with my dad. I've been avoiding this for 10 years. You know, I've never told him this. Mm-hmm. And then I tell you guys that. So it's not you guys aren't coming up with it and telling me to do it. I'm telling you guys I want to do it. And then I come back and I don't. I think I would want the group to be like, well, Sam, why didn't you do this? Like, and then coming from your own experience, you know, in emotional body experience in the moment, be like, Sam, I'm disappointed when I hear that. It makes me sad, or it makes me angry.
Well, and here's something that could fill that gap, though, that I think also can come from a really good group, is if you find that man isn't accomplishing his goals or his stretches on a regular basis, it might not be something that you need to go at him with, you know, anger or aggression. It might be like, hey, how can we support you in completing that stretch? Yeah.
You know, me being a parent, I have actually 8 children, and I raised them all.
Wow.
I know that there is 2 ways to try to accomplish, you know, a different behavior in your children. And one is to punish. Another one is to reward good behavior.
Yeah.
And that we know, you know, in a group we could do that too. We could say the people that are accomplishing their stretch, or they're doing their stretch, you know, try to find out how that made them feel. How did that reward themselves in their heart and in their self-confidence to actually do that stretch? And that should be the reason why people do it, not because somebody else in the group says you have to, I think.
Maybe that... Mm-hmm. The way that I put that was the context wasn't quite there, but I do agree with you, and maybe I'm a bit of a
you're special forces guy.
Yeah, and know? So yeah, so coming from that community, that's exactly where my mind goes is you know, being a part of a very small community, those people are counting on you, and the stakes are very high,
right?
And so, if you don't put this piece together, if you don't do exactly what you're saying, you're going to do, the whole system can fall apart. And so that's my programming. And I try to show up in a different way in terms of men's groups, because it's not a special forces team. It's a group of community members. However, I think that there does come what I've been told is there's a warrior mentality that can come from that, where it, just like we were saying before, if it's modeled correctly and I keep in my own integrity, I don't think those people, I'm not going to have to, what did you call it? You used reward and punish. There's no punishment. No, I think the punishment is all within oneself. If you're not accomplishing those goals, that's your own punishment.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have that to punish you.
Exactly.
But, and I was just sticking to what my experience is. You know, when I figure out that someone is showing up every week and they're not doing what they're saying they're going to do, it starts to build, you know, some irritability on my side. And I just want to be able to share that.
Exactly.
And I think that Sam and I have shared those types of feelings with each other and, you know, with your brother. And, you know, and I think that it's helped us all grow tremendously.
Absolutely.
So I think that we're kind of both right. I do like.
I think what you're all discussing is what impact it might have on a group.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So when you see somebody's not fulfilling their thing on a week, you kind of get lazy too. Well, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, all of a sudden, and that becomes the impact. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you're in a small, and I consider the men's group a small community.
Yeah.
Just like being in service, you know, you're accountability there for everybody. So I think that
there's the two sides of accountability, like you know, I mean, you commit a murder, you go into jail, and whether you like to be accountable or not, it doesn't matter what you, how you feel, you're going to jail, right? But in a men's group, if you don't do what is expected from you, there's really no punishment.
No punishment. No spanking.
I'm glad we're talking about this, because I think there is, like, maybe a slight, like, because we come from a corporal punishment world. Like, you know, we're just learning to not punish children. You know, like that philosophy of, like, of rewarding. Right. So it's not at all about punishment. It's about being authentic and honest with how it impacts you in the group when this man shows up. And in that moment, it's not like we're all agreeing, like, hey, we need to up our accountability. When Powell doesn't fulfill a stretch, we need to all, like, gang up on him. It's like, no, be honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how do you feel in that moment? And it comes from care. I mean, like, Powell, it honestly does make me upset because you're showing up, you're saying you're going to do this, and I trust you, I care about you, and I want this future for you. And, you know, it might be sadness. It might be just a, like, man, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
And then, and that's holding each other accountable just by, instead of being like, okay, like, well, next time. Because then that's giving you permission to do that for me, and the whole group kind of gets into this lax kind of like, well, next time.
And, and getting a man to own his own worth. And I think a lot of times where the anger comes from in terms of my own personal experience, if I see that I know you're very capable of doing something, and I know that if you are to do it, you're going to thrust yourself forward. You're going to be able to accomplish much more for your own life. And it's coming from a place of like love and compassion of, man, you know, you said you were going to do this. You knew you could. And then what is it that's keeping you from actually doing that?
Right.
How can we help
but
you?
But also to keep that carrot out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What's
the
reward? What is the reward for being responsible, for being accountable?
I like that because I've done a lot of, you know, workshops for positive thinking and stuff. And back then it was, that was the whole thing. Is tell somebody you're going to do this. Mm-hmm. You're going to start this business. Let it be known what you want to do. Now it forces yourself, wow, well, I'm going to go do it. But where's your alter ego? And I look at my relationship with my wife sometimes, I look at her as being my alter ego. So when I'm not keeping up an agreement that we might have had or whatever, in my, when she comes and talks to me about it, or if she brings something up, you know, it's like thinking out loud, all of a sudden it's in my head that, well, I promised that I was going to do this to myself. I promised to myself, hey, I'm going to be a better man, a better husband, and I'm going to keep this up, you know, because it impacts her and my and the family.
Right.
And then when I don't do it, I don't, she's my balance. So I was thinking, like, for men's group, in between that week, You know, it might be nice. I know we do we have the message thing where everybody can have it. Might be nice sometimes to put in or connect with somebody. How are you doing with your stretch?
Yeah, like a midweek check-in or
something. Yeah, midweek check-in, just to see, just to remind somebody, oh, yeah, I have a stretch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if we forgot it, geez, I'm not doing anything towards it, or I forgot my stretch, somebody could remind you.
Yeah, and I think it's it's a lot of responsibility on the person to let the group know how much accountability they really need.
Yeah.
And so if I'm sitting in group and I want to have this conversation with my stepdad or my brother, and it's, you know, I think as the group forms a bond together over time, you quickly understand the personalities of the men.
Right.
And I can maybe recognize that when Sam shares that he's going to do something, he may need a bit more support. That's not really true, but
right.
If I know that about you, it's easy for me to make the choice on Wednesday to call you and say, "Hey, how's this going?
Yeah.
You know, what, you know, have you gotten anywhere on this?" Or equally, your responsibility to call me or another man in the group and say, "Hey, I really need some help on, you know, accomplishing this stretch, and I want to make sure that when I show up on, you know, Monday night, that I can tell you guys I did it."
That's good.
So it's all choices. It's all it's your choice, personal choice, all the time to either do or don't do.
It also makes sense to elaborate on when you do a stretch, when you commit to a stretch. You know, I had one of my daughters that was terrified of making phone calls, you know, to somebody else. That may be no issue at all, but you know, if you tell the group that, you know, it's really hard for me, I feel this way and that way, to try to make a phone call, you know what I mean, then you can expect maybe one of the other members in the group to help you, support, walk you through it, or talk you through it in the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder how do you think it feels when you don't do what you promised to the group? You know, is there guilt? Is there shame? Is there...
I think it all depends on the context. So, I mean, there have been times where I haven't completed a stretch and I've felt shame or guilt. And then being able to sit in the feeling that I have about not completing that stretch and being witnessed by the other men that, wow, this is really upsetting. This really, I'm upset for myself, and I need to have that time to process that, to understand that I may or may not want to feel, I probably don't want to feel like that next week. However, I've also been in group and experiences where I've said, hey, I didn't complete my stretch and I know exactly why I didn't. And I have a lot of compassion for myself in this moment that I was overstretched. I had good intentions, and my wife needed extra support in helping put my son to bed every night. And it, you know, my sleep was important at this time. So, you know, maybe the stretch was more appropriate for another time. And so I've been able to be very strong in not completing my stretch, but then also feeling, you know, shame in ones that I just kind of let go. And I think it's up to that person. You know, you're going to know. It's not up to the rest of the group.
Right.
You're going to feel what is important to you and what you want to accomplish. And that's on the other person.
Totally.
Right. Very well said.
Yeah, because how can we relate to each other and, you know, help each other, but not make the other person feel guilty?
Well, yeah, we're not making them feel anything. We're just giving them a chance to connect with how they feel. Like, you know, if you didn't complete the stretch, well, how does that feel to you?
Yeah, that's true.
And then you can share how it makes you feel as a, you know, you're like in this commitment, this bond together. And for people that aren't in a men's group, listening, like, you know, how does it feel when you don't complete when you break the bond, your word with yourself? You know, like, I know for me, it's actually pretty easy. Like, I don't feel that bad, honestly.
Right.
Like when I tell myself I'm going to do something, it's really easy for me to make excuses. Like, I remember being a little kid, and that was what my mom used to always say, is you're so good at making excuses. And I'm really great. I'm very creative. So I can make excuses being like, you know, like when I was used to smoke or whatever, I'd be like, oh, it's okay. I'll buy one more pack. This will be my last one. And like, the pack will end, I'll be stressed. And I'll be like, you know, no one's watching. I'm just going to buy one more pack. It's totally fine. You know, but it's so different when I tell my wife, like, I'm not going to smoke anymore. Because I'm not going to lie to her face. If she's like, did you smoke? I'm not going to say no. She can smell it on me, you know. Sure. So something simple like that. Like, for me, that, and I think it's so, it's such a testament to that we're such social creatures. Like, everything about the human being is hardwired to be done in community. And the group is, that's how we grow. We witness other people. And we see that they are a certain way, and we mimic them, like monkey see, monkey do, that concept. And then the same goes for, like, the pressure of a community. Like, you know, if you're expected to do something and you say you're going to do it and you don't, I think that for good, for better or for worse, that feeling of shame that we have is a really, like, evolutionary, it's a force that is for our benefit. Because, like, we all want to feel accepted.
I think that women are blessed with an extrasensory nozzle quality for that reason.
Nasal.
To catch you smoking.
Oh, not just smoking.
Well, I think that in the groups, what I recognize is that there's much more space for practicing. And then what I mean by practicing is if we... You know, we're all on the Special Forces team together, and you didn't complete, you know, your task. There's going to be a lot of shame. There's going to be a lot of guilt. There's going to be a moment where you are pretty much pushed out of the group until you can prove that you can come back in. Whereas in a men's group, like, the stakes are much lower sometimes. But I think there's more space in the group in order to process what's actually happening. So, whereas there wasn't much time for us, or there wasn't much space for us to process why you didn't put that gun together, maybe it's just not smoking. We can play around with why that happened.
Slow it down.
And we can slow it way down and create a muscle that doesn't exist in the regular community. And I don't think it's exclusive to Special Forces teams. I think it, it happens at your job. Your employer is going to say, hey, you didn't show up on time, and you're going to be accountable immediately. But in the group, there's space to work with it. And so there's compassion, there's love, there's all sorts of things that are happening in that experience that you can just distill down to the actual core of the problem. And that's where you don't have a lot of space in regular community. And I think that's what's great. And it's, it makes it more palatable for me in my own experience to see how it impacts other people if I don't do what I'm saying. And I can see the look on your face. I can see your body language. I can hear the response you might have. And then we can sit there and talk about it and process through it. And then there's another side to it. There's it's almost like there's, I don't think almost, it's breaking down programming for people, because we all have this programming that we gain over time, and we need to upgrade that that programming. Right. And so I think that's what we're doing in a men's group, is we're helping to deprogram the old toxic stuff that we know we do. Just like you said, you're really good at making excuses.
Right.
I'm glad you called that out, because now I'll know that about you. And I'll bring that up when you make an excuse. But that's the only way we're going to get through these experiences, is making ourselves known.
And a man's group, of course, as opposed to society that people function in, is not production oriented. And so that, having that out of the way, is already
time giving it's not space. Super fast. It's like,
you don't, on the job or in the Special Forces, you have to perform, you know.
Exactly.
You don't have time to get into people's psychology. You just put them to the side and keep on with the mission.
Exactly.
But it is a skill to reprogram yourself, and if you can develop that skill and do it the snap of a finger, I'm gonna pound this nail into that board and make this frame this way. And you come along as my foreman and say, what are you doing? I wanted you to screw this bin, and I wanted you to put it there. Now, I could be stubborn and keep with the old program. This is the way that I was taught how to do it. Or I can reprogram myself. Oh, okay, great. Okay, I could do it that way, no problem. And it's the same with everything we do in life, you know.
I'm hearing humility in that personal humility. And flexibility.
And I think that's big with us men, is to learn the humility.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. And that's also why accountability is so important, because inevitably you're going to not fulfill something and be unaccountable, and that takes humility for to be called out, and flexibility, especially as a guy, you know, to be called out and be like, man, you know, how come you didn't fulfill that? And you just have, but kind of admitting failure. I mean, you're like, I'm human, even the other night.
After I all of a sudden remember that the other night, I'm like, geez, now I'm back to square one with what I'm working on, and I'm not reacting.
Right.
You know? Well, I could just slough it off and say, no problem, you know, but it really is that humility puts you back to realize that you're still working on something, that you haven't conquered it.
Gives you permission to have a bit more grace in actually achieving what it is that you that you want or that you need. Instead of it being a really, like, your parents shame you or spank your butt or something, you know, it's like, wow, that really hurt. But then, you know, you kind of just gloss over that.
Yeah.
And then if you have a group, like a nucleus of humans, which is the men's group, to sit there and stick with you for that experience, then it can give you some more grace, some more patience, some more opportunity to say, all right, what is it? And then you can draw from another man. And I could sit here in the group and say, hey, Paul, what is it that you see? What is it that, you know, because we all have blind spots.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's also great about the groups, is we can help see each other's blind spots. Mm-hmm. You recognize that you make excuses, but maybe I do something that I don't even know that I do. Mm-hmm. And that gets brought up after being in a group with guys for a long time. Yeah. And then if you have the humility to recognize it about yourself and say, wow, I do, that is something that I do. And you can get through it.
Yeah. Through it. And, you know, it's I want to kind of touch on this because it's been bugging me for a while. And maybe we can explain what a stretch is a little bit, you guys that have been facilitators, my facilitators. But sometimes it's like, how much accountability is held on what seems to be a simple stretch, like I'm going to buy a drum. To me, when I hear somebody using that as a stretch, it doesn't mean anything to me. It's like, I don't need to help that guy. Buy a drum, Jesus, go and buy a drum. Compared to, I'm going to quit drinking. Now that is like, okay, now that's where accountability with love to my brother, you know, has more weight. So we do these stretches. You want to comment on stretches and how do you look at a stretch? Do you look at a stretch as just being something that you want to accomplish versus something that has maybe more depth?
I think it's up to the group and the person to recognize that it needs to be on your edge. A lot of times I'll hear guys make things a stretch that they've been making a stretch for quite some time. And I think if your stretch is to work out 3 times a week, go to the gym 3 times a week, and that happens every week, that's just part of your life. That's that's maintenance. Right. That's what you're doing already.
Explain what you meant by edge.
So in terms of
your edge.
Yeah. So what I mean by your edge is it's something that's going to push you forward in life that may be a little bit scarier than your everyday, you know, protocol. And so if I've been really putting something off for quite some time, maybe going to the doctor, taking care of myself, I bring that up in the group and I say, hey, you know, it's a stretch for me to get off my butt and go to the doctor because, well, I don't usually have enough time, and I make a bunch of excuses, but really, you know, this heart condition or this stomach problem is working itself into my life and affecting everything I do. Right. And so I think that there needs to be an edge, and maybe buying a drum is an edge. Maybe
it could be.
Maybe someone's been thinking about playing this drum for so long, but they're scared of their own talent.
Right.
And going to buy that drum might mean that's the first step into their edge of playing it. And, you know, and it's a simple, you know, stretch. But and I know what you're saying is that sometimes we want it to be this big thing. And however, like Sam said before, you can overstretch yourself. Right. So, I mean, I found myself doing that quite a bit where, like, I wanted my stretch to be the best stretch of anybody's. and then I was going out going, whoa, I think I'm just, you know, it's all about balance. I thought that I was maybe just, you know, doing too many things. Right. And maybe someone's stretch is to do nothing.
Right.
If you're one of those guys that's a high-performing human and it just goes and goes and goes, maybe your stretch is just to sit in your hammock for a whole day.
Yeah.
And then if it's up to the group to recognize, you know what, that is going to be a stretch for you because you don't typically, that's not your typical program.
Yeah, that's why
I see myself going like...
not knowing how to relax.
12 hours to be over.
Waiting for it to be over. That's why I love the analogy or the wording edge. And I think he also said like over the edge. Or maybe he didn't say. So the metaphor of the edge is really important. Like think of a cliff. Mm-hmm. Like when you're on the edge, you're not over the edge and dying. You know, like you can do that with a stretch. You can go over the edge of your comfort zone to where like if you never work out, you're overweight and you're like, all right, I'm joining like CrossFit. I'm going to do it like twice a day every week. Like that might be over your edge. Like that's a little too much, you know, whereas, you know, on your edge is like, this is hard. It gives me that feeling of vertical, like, oh wow, I'm on the edge. That's scary. But it's pushing me out of my comfort zone.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's amazing too. Like I like that you brought up, well, maybe a drum, somebody buying a drum has more meaning to it than what you think it does. So it's right. Rather than each person comparing their edge to somebody else, like you were mentioning, that person might mean a lot.
But here's a great point about what you said earlier, though. Mm-hmm. You may not understand what that means to that person.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to own your experience and say, wait a minute, what the heck is buying a drum going to
do
for you?
Oh, there you go.
And so that's your personal responsibility in the group. Mm-hmm. Is if you feel that feeling of wanting to know something or wanting to feel something, and then you express that, hey, you know, like it really doesn't land with me that buying a drum is such a big stretch for you. Could you please let me know what that is?
Yeah, that's good.
And then you get to have that context straight from that person. Yeah, and in asking that question, that person may realize, man, buying a drum isn't really a stretch. You know, I'm having trouble finding the words of why that's going to help propel me forward. And maybe I'm recognizing that I don't even have the money to do that. And
so
I think it's great that once we really get to know each other, and I know that Sam might say something and I'm like, this is something that happens often, and I can step in and intervene and he can do the same for me.
And then I have the chance to be like, well, actually, to stand up for myself if it is something like it is a stretch for me.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to buy a drum for 2 years and I've been, you know, telling myself this and that, and it is a stretch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the whole concept of the stretch. I didn't quite understand it when I first got in group and stuff, you know, but bringing it out into my own personal world was like, yesterday was a stretch for me. I didn't even realize it, to do nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. I didn't do nothing.
Good work.
Everybody left the house, and I'm like, wow, great, you know, and I didn't do nothing in the house, I didn't do nothing like I usually do, you know, just be active. I just laid out on the couch, you know, did whatever I wanted.
That's great.
And that was a big stretch for me, so.
Awesome.
And I just realized that in our conversation now, with this simple aspect of the drum, is it or is it not a stretch?
Right.
And that was a stretch for me to just be quiet and be all day long, not even bother going outside, you know.
I think that's great to add context to the stretch, because I think a lot of people can assume that it's something hard.
Yeah.
Or that it's something, you know, this massive achievement where, it, you know, it's creating balance for all of our lives. So if you notice that a guy is spinning out of control and he's doing way too much, it may be advantageous for him to go get a deep tissue massage, or you know, go on some sort of retreat on his own to maybe do some resetting. And so that's good.
Well, there's a question I've got. When we recognize someone blaming circumstances as a reason to not do what they said they're going to do, follow me so far? How can we turn it around so the other person can recognize how blaming circumstances or somebody else, whatever, sabotages their accountability to self?
Say the last part again about blaming.
Blaming sabotages their accountability to self. Or like even personally, when we blame circumstances as the reason why I'm not fulfilling this, you know.
I believe it's like a... a comfort that someone can receive for not doing something. Mm-hmm. So there's like that notion of a baby wanting to suck on the bottle and it doesn't have what it needs. Mm-hmm. And if someone's blaming the system or someone's blaming someone else, it's their way of comforting themselves to you know, justify not completing whatever task that they wanted to complete. Mm-hmm. And it's I think it's all about choices. And so you can choose to blame or you can choose to, you know, say, hey, this may have not been the time for me to do that, or this may not have been the correct stretch for me at the moment. Or, you know, I think the blaming does get in the way of growth. It gets in the way of whatever you're trying to accomplish, because you're going to continue to blame. You know, you kind of see those people show up, you know, time after time. It's a pattern of blaming the rest of the world for them not accomplishing what they want.
How is it different than excuses? Blaming an excuse, is that pretty much the same?
I think it's pretty similar. Yeah. It's pretty synonymous.
But there's a difference between that and what you were saying about, like, you choosing, you know, or like with the example of your wife and the kid, you know, putting your kid that you chose to help your wife out in the evenings versus doing a stretch, and that's a different kind of.
Yeah.
It's almost like a compassion to be like, you know, I did say I was going to do this, but I made
as long as it's
more
coming
important.
From integrity. And right. So I could easily make an excuse. If you're right. searching for why you didn't do it
versus knowing,
I right. think that might be a nuance.
Yeah, that's just within the man, probably.
Yeah.
The guy only knows.
And so if I show up a group and I'm like, oh man, I didn't complete this stretch, what can I say? That
what's my reason?
Yeah, what's the reason? Oh yeah, I've been helping my wife every night. Well, that's the reason. That may not actually be the reason.
Right.
And it's up to that man and his own integrity to
know.
To claim that.
Right.
Well, I would think if there is a very good reason why you didn't do the stretch, then you have no reason to blame anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you just mentioned what the reason was. Whereas
right.
I think if you're blaming the situation or you're blaming somebody else, there is a problem with your self-confidence. You really don't accept the fact that you didn't do it because it was still your choice.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like you're making an excuse to feel better about your choice.
Yeah. You're diminishing your own worth by saying that this thing prevented you from doing
exactly.
what you wanted to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Even, yeah. If you just didn't want to do it and you give an excuse that has nothing to do with the fact that you didn't want to do it. You made a choice you didn't want to do it.
Right.
But you're blaming something else.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of power in what you just said. So if I show up at group and I had a stretch for the week and it comes to me and they say, why didn't you do that? And you say, I didn't want to. Like,
right.
I didn't want to. And you know,
right.
that's your own personal experience.
Totally.
And that may be the total truth. You may have said something on Thursday night that you thought you wanted to do, and then you quickly realize it doesn't fit into my life.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
I think there's power in self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You feel strong saying
and
that.
And it has to be true for you. But I think that's, like you said, super powerful to be able to show up in that space and not make an excuse, but also just say, hey, own the fact that you just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's great.
Well, we've covered all. Okay. So, does anybody have something else that we want to discuss here while we're talking about accountability? Go ahead, Paul.
I would like to throw a crazy curveball in there. You know, Jim, when he sent over this topic, accountability, several days ago, I've really been going all over the universe with it, so to speak. But I was thinking about the idea when in a man's group, when you hear somebody else hasn't done the stretch, or, you know, how from a, let's say, from a Buddhic point of view, where we understand that life is all one and we're all one in a man's group, how do we ourselves view our responsibility to it in the fact that somebody doesn't do a stretch or actually feel that if someone is distressed about something and brings it up in the group, how can we be feeling that oneness with that person or feeling accountable also?
It's kind of a whole
different...
That's a good spin on it. And I think it also maybe directly connected to what we were talking about earlier. If you notice a man shows up every week and he's not completing his stretch, there's a certain accountability for the group to find in their hearts or, you know, in their minds, some compassion and find out what it is that is maybe preventing that person from, you know, from achieving their stretch. Mm-hmm. And so not only is it on the person, but then it becomes accountability for the rest of the group to dive into that.
Right.
And find out what's happening or uh-huh. help that person and support him ongoing uh-huh. in order to continue mm-hmm. helping him, you know, achieve a stretch.
Right.
Is that what you're saying? I think.
That's what I tried to say. But I was comparing this to a story that my wife told about, and of course I don't know any names, but this is, I think, a prison in Hawaii or something like that where people were just absolutely out of control. Mm-hmm. And this one guy, the director, decided to do a prayer for each one of the prisoners and to say, as if he himself is guilty, say, "I am sorry, please mm-hmm. forgive me, I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ho'oponopono."
Yeah. That, okay, you guys know about this. So,
mm-hmm.
so this man himself had nothing to do with those mm-hmm. people having crimes, but apparently that completely changed these prisoners' attitude
sure.
towards the yeah. world and each other and themselves.
And
it's so it's kind of assuming responsibility, mm. even though you're not really guilty of it, but you can love the person that committed the crime or the sin or the neglect or whatever.
Yeah, because yeah. we're all connected in a universal
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And like this morning, for instance, just to share with you on that, we got a cat that's pretty sporadic that somebody needed us to watch for 10 days. And my wife took it in, and it's this big cat. And and I wasn't into wanting to do that. And it you know, pooped last night and stuck up the whole house. I come out of the room and I said, "Geez," to my son, "is that your cooking or what?" "No, no, that's the biggest one I've ever seen." Well, I sat there and I refused to clean it up and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sending all this energy to the cat. And then this morning my wife says, "I need to talk to you heart to heart." You know.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, the alter ego steps in.
The alter ego.
But it says, she goes, "We were given that cat for a reason. All of a sudden, this universal consciousness clicked into me." You know?
Mm.
"Oh. And there's a reason that we have this cat, and it is the way it is, you know. So can you look at it that way?"
Huh.
And actually, this was part of my stretch.
Oh.
Because I reacted initially.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I went in and I sat down and meditate. We do some yoga in the morning and before she did anything, and I sat down and I kid you not, I went through this whole thing with the cat and had to, because part of this, my stretch was, how are you, if you do react, what am I going to do, you know, to settle down and take it all in. And so I reprogrammed myself and my whole attitude towards this cat. Realize it is part of the universe, even though it's an animal, it's all part of us.
Mm. Yeah, not
and
only
I
that,
kid but... you not, when I opened my eyes, I'm looking at the rug down there, and I was hallucinating.
No kidding.
Literally hallucinating. I thought, and I shut my eyes, opened them up again, and it's still happening.
Wow.
And so there was some kind of power that went through me. And this guy that you're
awesome.
Talking about,
yeah.
he always talked about cleaning himself, right? He's cleaning himself. He realizes anything that somebody else is doing is all part of him. And so he constantly does this cleaning of self.
Wow.
"I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you." You know.
Well, I think when you do that too, you're not only becoming one with the rest of the universe, but you're also increasing your own capacity.
Yeah.
And I always ask myself the question, if something's irritating me mm-hmm. or something is getting in the way, instead of looking at it in a negative light, just ask, what is this teaching me?
Yeah.
What is this experience teaching me?
Right.
And it's an amazing opportunity to yeah. make that choice and say, mm-hmm. hey, this is just one of those things that comes
yeah.
up. Mm-hmm. And if I take my hands off the wheel because I'm not in control,
right,
what's actually happening here? Mm-hmm. What is that cat doing for me? It's helping.
It took a while for me to get there. Overnight.
Yeah. It's like this simple shift. I always remember this when I learned it was, there's such a paradigm shift to ask, instead of things are happening to us, things are happening for us.
Yes. Right.
And to look at the whole, really, if you look at it, the whole universe, we didn't create any of it. We didn't even create our own bodies. So everything is a gift, whether it's a welcome gift or not.
Yeah.
So if you look at everything as being received, because it is, we're literally just plopped onto this planet, birthed into this planet more accurately, and everything that comes to us is for us to use.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to say that. I've lived a pretty trauma-free, I still have all my limbs, I don't live in a war zone, I'm in the first world, but it's empowering to me when I come to this, and then I realize lots of other people before me, ancestors who, Viktor Frankl, who survived the World War II, the Holocaust, his book Man's Search for Meaning, people that have been in the worst situations in the world come to that same realization. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I ever, at the end of the day, have control over is how I respond to what's been given to me, to what's done to me.
I think that's a great point of giving up control, too. Right. There's a lot of control that creates holding in the body, it creates holding in the mind, and it prevents things from coming in and out. And the letting go is, if you can look at it as a space to be able to fill things that are more important.
It's
amazing.
Especially the sense of adventure, because you're entering a new paradigm.
You're open.
That is, that's almost the motivation to keep going, to reprogram yourself. There's a new adventure, there's a new world, a new cosmos in front of you.
I had an experience I wanted to share with accountability for my own personal self, and I don't even think I shared this with anyone, but I noticed that at nighttime I get kind of hungry and I want to go into the refrigerator and start eating. And one night I was just mowing down a bag of chips, and I looked at the chips and I thought, I hate the way I feel in the morning when I do this, but I continue to do it. So I wonder if I can trick myself into just eating fresh fruit and just really enjoying that instead. And I think I've come up with this surreal reprogramming for myself to go into the refrigerator and grab an orange or a handful of blueberries instead. And it's become part of my programming now. And I don't even think about grabbing the chips anymore, because I know when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to feel okay. Right. And so I don't know if I share that with anyone except for right now. But I think if you are holding yourself accountable in a group experience for quite some time, you learn to find that muscle for yourself to say, hey, I know I have the ability to make this choice, this change. Right. Just do it.
That's great.
All right. Well, that's a great way to end this program tonight. I want to thank all three of you guys. This is great.
Thanks for having us.
Sam, thank you,
Paul. Jim. It's been beautiful. Folks, next week we'll have more. And every so often there might be a Bozeman Hawks basketball game on this time of year. And if that occurs next Thursday or this Thursday, always tune in the following Thursday. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial. The Men's Network Radio.